Let's bow our heads as we stand. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be wise and not foolish. Amen. If there was a fire in your house and you could take just one possession out with you, what would that be? Maybe just talk to the people next to you and just discuss among yourself what that one thing would be. Just for a minute or two. Okay, I'm not going to ask you what it was, but I'll ask you this. If there really was a fire in your house, would you bother to go back and look for that thing? You see, what any fire officer would tell you is that you shouldn't try to take anything out if there's a fire in your house. Is that right, Mike? You shouldn't take anything out. We just need to get out of the building as quickly as possible without panicking. My father-in-law's a retired fire officer, and he would say the same thing. He's seen the results of people going back to collect something and staying too long in a burning building. And when you think about it, nothing that we own is worth more than our life, is it? Nothing. Nothing we possess is worth more than our life. I'm planning to retire next year. And you know you get these pension schemes that say you can have a bigger lump sum and a smaller monthly payment, or you can have a smaller lump sum and a bigger monthly payment. Well, you know, if I knew that I was, well, assuming I managed to get to retirement, if I knew, and the drama showed is you can assume nothing, if I knew that I was only going to live for another couple of years after retirement, I would take the bigger lump sum. Might as well enjoy it. But if I thought I was going to go on for another 30 years, I'd want the bigger monthly payment, wouldn't I? I'd need that. The thing is, you can't be sure. I don't know. When I was in my early 20s, I took out an assurance policy. Not an insurance policy, an assurance policy. And it's an assurance policy because I can be sure of it. I can be sure that I won't get any of the money. Probably, hopefully, my wife will. And I can be sure of that because the policy will only pay out on my death. And I can be sure of that as well. That's something else we can all be sure of. But what I can't be sure of, and what none of us can, is exactly when that will happen. One of the problems with the man in the story Jesus told, same as the problem in the man in the drama, brilliantly acted, I have to say, was that he lived his life as if he was sure of what he couldn't be sure of. When he found his crop had yielded this bumper harvest, he thought to himself, what shall I do? Let's have slide 3, please. He thought, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. You see, he was sure of two things. Sure he had two things. He was sure he had plenty of grain, and he was sure he had many years. And he was going to spend those many years eating, drinking, and being merry off the plenty of grain that he had. The thing is, he didn't have many years. Slide 5, please. So he didn't have plenty of grain either, at least not after what God said to him when he said, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have been preparing for yourself? You see, I don't think this story is so much about what happens to this man when he dies. I believe it's about how he messed up the one life that God had given him. And he messed it up because not only was he sure of what he couldn't be sure of, He thought it was all about what he owned, what he possessed. It was wrong thinking that made him the fool he was and made his life, in the end, empty. Didn't mean anything. It meant nothing in the end because it was all about him. Just listen to the way Jesus tells the story. The man thought to himself, I have no place for my crops. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty. It's all about myself. Me, me, me. It's all about him and what he had, the possessions he owned. Think back to the question you thought about at the beginning of this talk, what possession you would take with you if you could take one thing. That's not the most important thing, is it? Your life is more important for a start. But then there are also the people in your life, the people you love and care for, the people who love and care for you. You'd want to make sure they got out the building if you could. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, has written a book called Dethroning Mammon. We're looking at it in our evening services at the moment. One of the things he says is that we tend to put too much value on the things that we can measure. We can measure what we've got in the bank or what our overdraft is, what we get paid each week or month. We can measure how much pocket money we get. We can measure how much we pay in taxes. Children and young people are measured by their SATs results and their A-levels and their degrees. But the most important things in life can't be measured. The love we share, the value of a child, compassion and kindness and neighborliness and all these things that go to make the world a better place to live in. They can't be measured. The rich fool was a fool because he had turned in on himself and he was all the poorer for that. But Jesus doesn't leave us there, you know. He wants to widen our horizons. He wants us to have a fuller life. There's a verse tucked up deep in the Old Testament. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14, and that's what it says. God, everything we have has come from you. We've just sung that, haven't we? And we give you only what you first gave us. Everything we have ultimately comes from a good and generous God. And life is fuller and richer and deeper if we acknowledge that and give him thanks and put him first and not ourselves. See, in the end, we don't really own anything, do we? It's ours for a season. And then we have to let go. We can't hold on to it. We can't take it with us. But we will enjoy it much more and live a fuller, more rewarding life if we recognize that. And don't rely on what we can't be sure of. Because in the end, there are only two things that we can be sure of. One is that we'll all die. And the other is that God loves us with a love that death cannot destroy. God is good and generous and caring, cares for each one of us. And if we want to enjoy life as it's meant to be enjoyed, then we have to learn to rely on him and thank him for life and love and everything else that we enjoy. And that attitude to life and things frees us up. It frees us from our lives being a useless mess that's all about me and my and what I own. It frees us up to be generous to God and to others. Jesus says this, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I started with a question. Let me end with a question. What does your life consist of?